بدشیم که هی وانشی هی
هی
نانم
into knowledge,
na-ina,
to self-realize,
tatwa,
of the truth,
darshinaha,
here,
translation,
this fact is only true by approaching a spiritual master. Inquiring of him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Please read after me. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire of him submissively and render service unto him. A self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. The path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. The Lord therefore advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of biblical succession from the Lord himself. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following this principle of biblical succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and the person in a biblical succession can obey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciples. No one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of the foolish pretenders. The Bhagavatam 6.3.19 says, Dharman Tu Chakshat Bhagavat Pranitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Therefore, mental speculation or dry arguments cannot help one, cannot help lead one to the right path. Nor by independent study of books of knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant, without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement. Inquiries and submission contribute to constitute the proper combination of spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master, and if he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual knowledge. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Not only should one hear submissively from the spiritual master, but one should also get a clear understanding from him in submission and service and inquiries. A bona fide spiritual master is by nature very kind toward a disciple. Therefore, when a student is submissive and is always ready to render service, the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiry becomes perfect. they being in the different stage for the Prabhupada, it would be appropriate to speak something about Guru Tattva, the importance of something in spiritual master, and the proposition of the Prabhupada himself. Recently, I have the experience of finding out why it is important to have a spiritual master. I was on the internet and I came across a website dedicated to Indology. Somebody asked the question, why is it that in the Vedic culture, the worship of Indra, Indra worship and the worship of any god, stop. And then Krishna Bhakti started. And then there was all kinds of speculation from academic scholars, as my godmother called it academic scholarship. That when they get certain inquiries, they have, they're blind, totally blind. They think that because they know Sanskrit, therefore they know everything. So they had so many ideas about the Krishna legend, called legend became popular. So at first my heart was filled with anxiety. Nobody asked the question before. Why is it that Vedas is all about sacrifices and this and that? And nobody's doing that. Who's doing all these intrayatnas? Nobody's doing ajnayatnas and Adhishtoma, for all the different, nobody's doing these Jyotishtamayamas, nobody's doing that anymore. But first I was thinking, well, maybe these scholars will have something to say, they are to something here. But then, as I was, you know, chanting my japa, different, that I just stayed in the back of my mind for a long time, bothered me. And so many things that Srila Prabhupada said in the Guru Bhakya and from the Rishi Bhakya, different acharyas, they said, what they said came into my mind and cheered up all the gods. For example, the Sanatana Goswami said that the purpose of the Vedas is to bring one home back to Godhead. But the Vedic process is a slow, gradual process. Many lifetimes, from Babu, Sanmanam, Pandey, takes a long time. After many, many births, Babu, Sanmanam, Pandey, Nara, Van, Mansra, Pandey, Vanasu, Devam, Sarvati, Samahatma, Sukhya. But at the conclusion of many births, one who has acquired knowledge, he understands that Babu Dev is all that there is. And such a great soul is very rare. Such a rare thing. And so that's what Goswami explains, that the Vedas are meant for everyone, because everybody is meant to go back home to God eventually. You're making different positions in the queue. But that's the goal. Krishna is very merciful. He's created this whole system. But because people have various interests, the Vedas speak on those topics, the greater and less proportion. The Vedas speak mostly about artha. And then they speak a little bit less about kama. A little bit less about dharma. A little bit less about moksha. And least of all, they speak about bhakti. Because, as Krishna said, out of many millions of men, hardly one of them is the truth. And out of such millions of men, hardly one knows the truth. It's only a topic that very few people are interested in. So it's not going to be on the front line. Not cases, but the Vedas, you know, Krishna Bhakti, Sunita Krishna. Not going to be there. It's a gradual process. By doing all these different things, eventually people come to this conclusion. But the Vedas are not historical. Not that they're supposed to be academic scholars. They think that the Vedas are some historical text and they're in some sort of a linear progression. Historical linear progression. Because of that, the way that they're blind, they think this way. They don't understand that the Vedas are eternal. Time cycles are Time is in cycles.
Go to the cycles.
Yugas, Mahayugas, Kalpas, Manvas. Mahayugas, Manvasaras, Kalpas, Pardanas, and then the last of those Brahma. So, in one day of Brahma, there's 14 Manvasaras. One day of Brahma is 4,320,000,000 years. So in one day, there's 14 Manvasaras. And in the 7th Manvasara, in the 28th Mahayuga, a Kali, that's how Krishna appears, only in one day of what Brahma Krishna will appear. Right? So therefore, he's going to make a headline. All of them, all of the Vihasas, the Puranas, they're going to specifically mention Krishna. The and Krishna himself, in this Gita, he himself decries the worship of demigods, all to the Kavivamsa, the Mahabharata. Krishna becomes the, because he has disappeared. The only one in a whole life, in a whole day of Brahma, he comes. Therefore he comes into the spotlight. Therefore everybody else fades into the background. And just a few days ago, we discussed why the Indra-yajna was stopped by Krishna himself. He himself stopped the Indra-yajna. So the residents of Vrindavan wanted the Indra, wanted to worship Indra, and Krishna stopped it. Said he worship Govardhan, he looked at him. So, these scholars couldn't figure this out. Because they didn't have a guru. They didn't have a guru. They didn't have someone who is a tattva-darshana. They are just simply with their tiny little brain, they are trying to figure out the plan of Krishna. With their tiny little brain, they are trying to figure out Krishna's plan, Krishna's efforts. So, we should have mercy on them. They are very unfortunate people. They think that because they have PhD, that they are very important to them. But as my grandfather, Dandavir Maharaj, pointed out, PhD stands for Perpetual Humility Deficit. Because of their pride, they can never understand that. Therefore, they are Mayaya Akritakshana. They cannot understand. And that's something which is very straightforward. The devotee, just by a little bit of thinking, back on what the Guru has said to us, they can understand it. And that's only one. It's after a little bit of contemplation, I came to this conclusion, based upon what Srila Prabhupada and Srila Acharya have said. But they can't figure this out. What to speak of other Vedic literatures, such as some of these Pancharatic texts. I was a couple of years ago, I was in Sri Lanka, and I was speaking to one of the senior archivists, and he was telling me how the main Pancharatic text that they use to worship Ramayana, you can have 10 PhDs in Sanskrit, you don't understand it, unless you have a guru. Because it's all in code. It may describe some, you describe how, for example, you know, waking up the deity, there's a little story is there, but the guru explains that this phrase means you should wake the deity like this, you should go like this, you know, because if you just read it, you think it means something totally different. But the guru explains to the disciple that this actually means, this is actually the procedure of how you wake up the deity. But no one can understand it unless the guru has explained it to him. So this is the importance. Without the guru, you're finished. And it's not guru. There are so many other gurus. But guru has to come in the guru parampara. As Krishna explained earlier in this chapter, the importance of the guru parampara. And Srila Prabhupada also explained that. So, in our parampara, the Gaudiya Siksha, the precedent is on Siksha. So if you read in the list of our Guru Parampara, there, not all of them are related by Siksha, but they're all related by Siksha. For example, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he actually rejected the Siksha Guru. And he accepted Saranatha Babaji as his Siksha Guru. And even the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna accepted Krishna as his Guru. Was there a Maya sacrifice? Was there any Siksha? Did did not only give Diksha to Prahlad. No, he gave Diksha to Prahlad. Did not only give Diksha to Dhruva. No, he gave Shiksha. Not only is the guru happy to everybody, I don't have to recall any place where he had the fire sacrifice going and he gave them that. No, he gave everybody shiksha. Because shiksha is more important. Of course, the shiksha guru can also be your diksha guru. As in mind, it's Shiva Bhamba, my diksha guru, and my shiksha guru. But for everybody, in his time, Shiva Bhamba is the shiksha guru. Not their diksha guru. And some people are studying that, but they're wrong. You should have thought about position in his God as the guru, the acharya, he's the giver of diksha to his disciples, and shiksha to his grand disciples and everybody. And today, though today is Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day, physically he disappeared, but his followers who embodied him, who embodied his shiksha, are still here. His books are still here. And even more importantly, because the books of other acharyas are present, but in the case of Srila Prabhupada, is actually his words, is actually his spoken words are still present. Imagine if we had thousands of hours collected, you know, discussions, conversations, and lectures of Ramakrishnacharya. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? Or a Madhvacharya, or Jesus Christ, or Muhammad. So they're not present. But we do have over 1,000 hours of the words, spoken words of Srila Prabhupada in recorded form. Srila Prabhupada called it his separated energy. One time he was on a morning walk, with some disciples. And they were asking Srila Prabhupada to explain what separated energy meant. So they had two tape recorders were with them in the background, you know. So Prabhupada said to one of the persons, play back the tape recorder. And so you hear everybody standing there and you hear Prabhupada speaking. So this is my separated energy. So, the energy of Srila Prabhupada as found in his books or in his tapes is very profound in its ability to transform people. One time, Srila Prabhupada commented, somebody had said how they had been preaching. I don't know what was the reason he said it, but he said, what is the good of your 5 minutes of preaching? Give them a book. If you give them a book, this will have a much more profound effect. And there are countless stories about people's lives who have been changed by Srila Prabhupada's books. And I'm going to give a couple of examples. Just to give an indication. This actually is a letter that was written to me by somebody who I gave a book to. So, this is a lady. Her name is Anil Kipion. She wrote to me June 20th of last year. The subject line was thank you. She writes, Dear Shamasundar Das, and I was surprised, she said, please accept my humble obeisances. All words you should have Hare Krishna. Nearly 3 years ago, I ordered some astrological consultations from you to find out where I should go to find my guru and spiritual path. choosing you at random and not caring much that you were, quote, in the service of Sri Radha and Govinda, end quote, whose names I did not understand anyway, I discovered that my birth time was actually 7 minutes later than the one I gave you, so I did relocate, but pondered your words as you warned. Beware of bogus gurus. In addition to the protection you gave me verbally, you rendered more service with the gift you sent, Bhagavad Gita as it is. I had taken out of the public library almost 10 years ago while trying to learn about yoga, but returned it due to my heart being bitter because of her Mayavadi teaching, Mayavadi leaning before, and not wanting to absorb Srila Prabhupada's purport. I went back to reading the Mayavadi type of Gitas and other similar literatures, remaining very happy, very unhappy, and lost. Upon receiving Bhagavad Gita as it is from you in September 2004, I kept it on my bedside and read a little each night for almost 2 years before sitting up the Bodhi. In the early summer of 2006, I began chanting the Maha Mantra on my own. And on August 15th, I decided it was now or never. And if you hear this mantra coming from the lips of pure Vaishnavas, as Srila Prabhupada had advised, I found out that there was a center on 26th Second Avenue in New York City. And it took a 2-hour train ride alone, not knowing what to expect. Arriving sweaty and with a rapid heartbeat, I was greeted by two brahmacharis and went to sit down for kirtan for the very first time. It is difficult for me to describe what happened to my body and mind while first hearing the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare from these devotees. All my pain and fear disappeared and I felt I was being held in the arms of someone who loved me very, very much. I continued attending temple programs, and when asked how I came there, I told the devotees it was because of a gift from you. I am indebted to you, Shanta Sundar, because it was your mercy combined with that of Krishna and Srila Prabhupada had arranged for Bhagavad Gita to be put into my hands again, this time with the intelligence to understand and pursue Krishna consciousness. Whoever aspires to serve can be it. So here, almost 30 years after Srila Prabhupada left, who made a devotee? He made a devotee. Here's another very inspiring letter. Actually, it was Srila Ramaswamy. This was his offering on Srila Prabhupada's Yatra Puja Day. Dear Srila Prabhupada, visit that my humble day presented the Divine Lord's feet. All glories to you on the celebration of your appearance day. While planning the composition of your offering, I was also attending to my regular correspondence. One letter stood out amongst the others. I enclosed it here, translating into English for your pleasure. So this is the letter that was written to Srila Ramaswamy. Dear Srila Ramaswamy, Hare Krishna, please accept my humble obeisances, all glory to Srila Prabhupada. I hope you do not mind my writing to you. I have never written to a spiritual master before. You do not know me. My name is Bhakti Dora and I live in Texas, Hungary. I am 14 years old and I live at home with my mother and older sister. In 1992, I went to a Hare Krishna festival with a friend. I was not very interested, but I enjoyed the chanting and the dancing at the end. After it was over, I bought a book. So she was 12 years old at the time. I bought a book, The Science of Self-Realization. I don't know why. Generally, I never read. I think it was because of the chanting. I took the book home and I can't remember what happened to it. One day my mother found it and was very angry with me. She thought that I was reading this kind of thing. You see, our family members are very strict Catholics. They thought Krishna consciousness was some kind of brainwashing. Actually, I wasn't reading the book. I had forgotten all about it. Somehow, it just appeared. Anyway, my mother was going to throw it away. My grandmother, who was 68, was in the kitchen at that time. She lived in the apartment upstairs. She came in and took the book. She looked at it and scolded me in a very heavy way. I thought that would be the end of it. I did not mind it so much as I was in a lot of Maya at the time. For a week later, I overheard a conversation between my mother and grandmother. Granny was saying that this is not an ordinary book. She said that what Srila Prabhupada was saying, this was Jesus Christ said and that Krishna is God. I was surprised. She said that we should listen to what Prabhupada said and chant Hare Krishna because that was the religion for this age. There was a lot of talk about how Christianity was no more, and no one was following the Bible, and what Prabhupada said was pure and perfect. Things really took a turn from there. One day my grandmother visited the Namahata Center here and began to chant on deed. She also began to buy Prabhupada's books one by one. She was spending all of her attention on buying what she called the beautiful Holy Bible. Sometimes she could only afford to be touching books. She said buying the books. The devotees even came to her flat and helped her to set up an altar. When I went upstairs, they had taken all the pictures down, and there were Krishna pictures everywhere. That was really the beginning. One night, Granny had a dream about Prabhupada. Something really happened to her then. I don't know what it was, but she began to get very enthusiastic. Then she began to get the whole family involved. I mean, not just me and my mother and sisters, but her two sons, their wives, and six children, as well as all her brothers, sisters and relatives. Before she used to carry a Bible with her and quote Jesus Christ. Now she had a Bhagavad Gita and quoted the good Lord Prabhupada. She became a veritable transcendental servant. Everyone in the family has to chant at least one round a day. In addition, many make everyone become a vegetarian, including my daughter. My daughter. She made her daughter vegetarian. And we offer our food to a picture of Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya. Now I'm also getting out of Maya and chanting and reading a little also. Well, I go to school, my friends inquire about Krishna, as they know I am a devotee. My whole family goes to the Namahata, all 16 of us. During the Christmas marathon, we all try to distribute Prabhupada's books. Even Granny would take books with her to the market and sell them to the vendors. Everyone is afraid of her because she is fearless. They all think she has gone crazy, but she doesn't care. Now she is saving to go to Budapest to see the newly installed deities. She has heard that Lord Chaitanya goes to have a king from Hungary, and they're being worshipped there by the devotees. She says she wants to see God. This one is this one. At this year's Hare Krishna festival, she was speaking to the guests after the kirtan. You must remember my grandmother because she came and sat beside you and asked you so many questions. At the end, when you stood to leave, she even kissed your hand, remember? I also want to ask a question, but I was shy. Could I please ask you now? I hope you don't mind, Maharaj. I want to know what kind of man Srila Prabhupada was. He must be so dear to Krishna to spread his message all over the world. What about these books? changed my family so much. How is it possible that you can speak so powerfully through them? You must feel very fortunate to be his disciple. How great a man he is. Sometimes when I get any chance to cut a picture of Krishna, she cries. How does Prabhupada do that? I want to cry like that. When he dreams of Prabhupada, sometimes she talks with his picture. A woman says on the cover of the book, he passed away. Is Prabhupada really dead? Or is he still alive? Do you think that should be in company? I'm sorry that I've gone on so. I will have to be a good devotee one day and help you and Prabhupada's great Krishna consciousness. Please, could you answer my question? Papa, what is this brand of mercy that you gave this old lady I just barely met, that you never gave to me? She never met you, never saw the devotee, she's not even initiated by you. What is this kindness that you bestow upon her that you do not give to me? You are, quote, fortunate disciple. What am I referring to? It is just this. After having come in contact with you for just a few months, what inspiration did you give this granny in that dream? What did you move in her heart that made her change her life in its final days, that made her turn against the current of finality and tradition and strike out alone to change her world? No sympathy, no association, no institutional support, boldness I do not possess, changes I do not have the strength to make. Srila Prabhupada, I want to know what is it that you say to her in front of your picture when she talks to you? I have so many pictures, you cannot speak to me through them. Although I wish to see it daily, I continue to see them as made of marble and wood. How is it that this old lady has the conviction that God has come to her country? Why have you not given this such a vision to me? Where did she get the conviction that the pilgrimage to the city capital would yield the final goal of her life? One last thing, Srila Prabhupada. How is it that when Dora's granny chants in front of the picture, she cried? How do you do that? I want to cry like that too. When will you give me that mercy? Srila Prabhupada, this is one letter from one girl who came in contact with you. How many millions of such souls have yet to write who are directly experiencing your mercy daily? Who read your books with implicit faith, whom you talk to in dreams and pictures, whose lives you change abruptly, and reward with tears when chanting the holy name. How many people across the boundaries of rules and regulations, by the strong boat of your mercy and practice and faith, Krishna consciousness in the realm beyond logic and argument? I think these people are meeting you every day. How will I acquire this good fortune? When will you one day bestow some of this special mercy upon me that you give to them? If I am not to acquire it directly, then even after begging for it, then I will serve such souls who have reached your mission. I will offer them prasad and give them your books and show them how to practice. I will chant with them. Then, thus, I can hope to gain a new perspective of your greatness, even though I may never fully understand the insignificance of Shivaram Swami. So, and the girl, as the little granddaughter said, she thought that Shiva Prabhupada was dead. It says in the book, he passed away. But obviously, Shiva Prabhupada is very much present in this book. You want to hear that at all? This happened in the early 80s, so 1980, 81, something like that. It was during the Christmas marathon in Paris. the devotees were doing book distribution, and the technique that they would use is that they would get onto a train just before it left. The shipping books collect and get on the train. So this one young Mataji, very delicate, beautiful girl, she got on the train, she approached this one man and handed him a Krishna book. He took one look at it, he became very angry. And to her surprise, he tore the very strong, he tore the Krishna book in half, threw it on the ground, and started jumping on top of the Krishna book. She began to cry. She was in so shock, she began to cry. Then the man grabbed her by the hair, dragged her to the exit of the train, and physically threw her off the train onto the platform. She fell, she was bleeding, all the devotees came, she had fractured her jaw, she was bleeding, the devotees were cursing her. They were cursing this man, cursing this man for doing this to this girl. Though she was hospitalized, 3 days later she was back, she was in books. The man was going from Paris to Madrid. He was a banker. When he got to his home, he showed the book to his wife and explained everything that happened. You know, how these nonsense people were there, he sent all kinds of things to me. Put the book on the table, and he went to the office. His wife went shopping. The maid servant came to the house. She saw his book on the table. She thought she didn't know the story. So she put the book back together as good as possible, and she put it in this bookshelf at the office. About a year later, this man's life was struck by major tragedy. His wife, who he dearly loved, was killed in a head-on collision, instantly killed. His daughter ran off with a drug addict, and his son also became a drug addict. So he was completely dead. His life was, he was on the verge of suicide. So he was thinking what to do. So he started looking for the Bible, reached for the Bible, what people do. They give them times of when they realize they are not in control. So he started looking, and he happened to see the Krishna book on the shelf. So he picked it up off the shelf and he began reading. And he was reading about how Vasudeva was explaining to Kamsa how about the process of reincarnation, how when the worm, the inchworm puts has its foot in one place before it puts it down, and they go to the body, the soul transfer from one body to the other. This somehow gave this man solace that his wife actually hadn't died. And she had got the reincarnation. So this way the man decided just reading continuously. And he didn't, when he was the president of the bank, he didn't go to work for 1 week. He just stayed and read the whole Krishna book. And after reading the Krishna book, he looked in the back of the book and he saw the address of the Paris temple. So he called up the Paris temple and inquired. And he found out that in his home city, Madrid, there was also a temple. So then, one day, he shows up at the temple. And the good temple president opens the door and he finds this man dressed in a three-piece suit, except that he was on his knees crying, begging for forgiveness. The president always talking about that. He's saying, please forgive me. I didn't know what this girl was doing. I beat her very badly. She was trying to, she was trying to save us. Like this, and things that, the president was like, I just pulled the man into his office, and he went on and on, the president was like, speechless. And this man was saying, president, he said, if there's anything I can do, some president, he still was stunned for that. The bank president just wrote a check for a large amount of money and gave it to the temple. And he began chanting every Sunday, so the chanting the Sunday program. And then eventually, he started reading off the book, and he just gave up that his wife is dead, his children are gone. So he decided to move the temple. So they gave him the service of being the treasurer. But then the Christmas marathon came. The Christmas marathon came. And he said he wanted to go article distribution too. He also wanted to go article distribution. He didn't do too bad. He was okay. He said he didn't want to become a president. He didn't want to become a person anymore. He just wanted to distribute books. Going to the Saturday night party. But then, 1 year, they had a very big festival in Philip and Dom in Italy. So all of the devotees, Saturday night devotees in their zone, came there. So he personally searched out the knowledge that he had beaten up on the east. The tears in his eyes, so she could not imagine that she was shaved down. He went, what is this mother child? Why is he young? And then he explained that he was the one who beat her, he was the one who threw her off the train. You know, and he begged for forgiveness. Of course, you know, she was so stunned, completely shocked about how, of course, she naturally thought she forgave him, but she was so surprised at how this person had become so transformed, you know, such a rare thing that somebody would become so inimical. You know, he actually beat her. For the destroyed the book, jumped up and down on it. Yet he became not only the Holy became a book distributor himself. This is the focus of the issue of this book. This is the focus of the issue of how much has not an ordinary person. So it's one thing to go off on Shiva Prabhupada. He said, anybody can speak nicely about the guru practice of their anybody. But I should speak louder than the words. We should act, not just talk. We should. Somebody may talk the talk, but we can walk the walk. So they actually put into practice. So we have to take the example of Shiva Prabhupada. He was totally dedicated to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He heard that Bhakti Siddhanta was very interested in books. The books was the most important thing. So he became a bhakti that was helping him to like English, to preach English. You know, that is why he was always interested in books. What is the book's publication? The book is being published. What is the book scores on his deathbed? One thing which enlivened Srila Prabhupada was, what is the book scores? How many books? This is better than any medicine. If he heard that books were being distributed, profusely, he was enlightened. Gave him life. This gave him life. The books were essential to Srila Prabhupada. And his to about his living books, and also in this recorded conversation, I mentioned the recorded conversation, they're all there for everyone. I don't know, people may have his books, but not so many people may have his recorded conversations in the full of MP3s. They are very individual, over 1,300 hours of lectures, room conversations, morning walks, darshan, everything is there, and they are very, but you think the books are mystical. The tapes are even more mystical. Of course, you don't distribute the tapes too often, the recording too often, but they are also very mystical. One time, I was moving. I had a deadline. So I didn't have time to chant my chakra. I had to just get up, pack, and go to sleep, get up, pack, go to sleep. But I was listening to 12 or 15 lectures a day, which continues one after the other. Now normally if I miss one day of ground, I feel terrible. I had missed about 10 days of ground, because I didn't have any, I didn't have a deadline, I had to move out of my flat. But I feel so good. I'm just thinking of this. I'm feeling so good. And I think, why do I feel so good? At that very moment, on the tape. In other words, Srila Prabhupada said, the words of the Guru is Krishna speaking to you. So my question was answered. Srila Prabhupada's words will clear your insanity. You're all insane. Once somebody asked Srila Prabhupada in the rose garden behind the Rupa-Dhanu temple, what is the definition of insanity? And Prabhupada said, the sum total of all stupidity. So, if you just listen to Srila Prabhupada speak, then he will clear all the stupidity from our brain. And many devotees have, experiences of how Srila Prabhupada acted when my godmother used to defend my Madhuryism before he was initiated. He went to see Srila Prabhupada. He was testing him and said, Srila Prabhupada, he had certain questions you can answer the Prabhupada. He had 5 questions you can answer the Prabhupada. But he never had a chance to ask Srila Prabhupada the question. Because in the course of the conversation, Prabhupada answered all 5 questions. So he was like, completely moved into the temple. He jumped around the Sherry Ashra. Or George Harrison. My older brother, Shamsundar. He described how he was very, very careful in dealing with George Harrison. Because George Harrison had many bad experiences with focus gurus or people, even very rich people always try to use. So he was very cautious about asking George Harrison for anything. He didn't want to ask George Harrison for anything. Then one day, told Shamsundar, go ask George Harrison for, I think it was either $10,000 or $20,000, maybe it was $18,000, for publishing the Krishna book. So Shamsundar was like, we never asked George for anything, how am I going to do it, So he didn't exactly go directly, but he sort of timed it as they were at a dinner at George Harrison's house. We're cooking the present coffee and banana. And he asked George, Prabhupada wants you to donate for the publishing of the Krishna book. Then he said, George became very quiet, had a very grave look on his face. He didn't say anything. Suddenly, there was a thunderbolt. A bolt of lightning and all the lights went out. And it took several minutes. When the lights came back on, George had a very big smile on his face and he went looking for something. And then Shamsundar said, what happened is, I prayed, Krishna, give me a sign. I should do this. Got it. So there are countless, you can go on and on and on. There, you can get from ITV video recordings of devotees explaining their experience with Srila Prabhupada, how they totally changed their lives. But most people, these books are what totally transformed the lives of people who read them. So Srila Prabhupada wanted his disciples to read the books, he didn't create a business for selling books. He wrote these books, he said, for the atheists, my disciples, to change them. It's a great, very great power to transform if you want. So he wanted us not only to read the books, but to live the books, and then to distribute the books. First you read them, then you live them, and then you distribute them. Right? Not just that you distribute them without reading them and without applying them to your life. Because that's why Prabhupada is successful, because he read the words of his guru and the previous acharyas. He said that when he was reading Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary in the Bhagavad Gita, and it says Yastya Kabuti, that verse Vishwanath Chakravarti explained that the disciple should make the instruction of his guru his life and soul. Indeed, Srila Prabhupada read voraciously all the Shastras. And that's by reading the Shastras, the sword of knowledge, one becomes attached. Because he had, one time he had a doubt. He developed a doubt about Bhakti Siddhanta. They were in Mayapur. Bhakti Siddhanta gave the instruction to kill a snake. So the cobra was found. So Srila Prabhupada entertained his heart of doubt about Bhakti Siddhanta. How? Asadi can order the killing of any living entity. So not such a doubt about one's guru will destroy a person's spiritual life. But how did that doubt get destroyed? Because Prabhupada read. And he read. On the order of his guru, he was reading. He read at least 7th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, Alpha Kalad. He said, even the sadhus are happy if a snake or scorpion is killed. So therefore Prabhupada felt his guru. Otherwise, if he had had that doubt, how he could dedicate his life to fulfilling Bhakti Siddhanta's order and risk everything and come to America at his very old age, at age 70. At age 70, because he had such firm faith in Bhakti Siddhanta's order. And you feel positive, if I have any credit, is that I strictly followed the order of my Guru Maharaj. Without changing, without addition, without subtraction. So now, this is the beginning of November. Next month is December. Gita Jayanti month. Right? So what are we going to do? We're going to do the Sacred Books. This is Srila Prabhupada's life and soul. Bhakti Siddhanta said, better to take the heart of the temple, sell it, and publish books. So we have to now, if we really are followers of Srila Prabhupada, if we really want to praise him, we will praise him by distributing his books. That would be the real glorification of Srila Prabhupada, by distributing his books. I was in Delhi last year in the hospital. I spent a lot of time in the hospital in Delhi. But last year during the marathon, I became so inspired, even though I was in a very invalid situation, that I wanted to go to the books. But I thought, after I thought about it, that I can't do that. If somebody even touches me, I would be crying in pain because I have 12 broken bones. I was barely could walk. So, but that didn't stop me. When I went to the doctor's office, I could easily distribute books. Everybody in the game, they could understand. It's very easy to convince people in the hospital or in the doctor's office about the misery of life. So, by the time I left Delhi, I distributed about 600 books in hospital. My doctors, my nurses, actually I just bring cases, cartons of them. Those are books through boxes. So even somebody who has 12 matches to read a book. And I was with Mahavi Swami in January. We were at an award giving ceremony for one of the Namahata centers in Delhi. The Delhi only distributed 350,000 jitas. 3.5 lakhs. Jesus they distributed last year. Not just to get any temple,
Okay.